During your internet browsing or weekly podcast downloading binge, you have stumbled upon Hot Air, the DC Breeze, AUDL Teams podcast. My name is Greg Esser, and I am the host of that podcast. A lot of things I've got to get off the cusp here today with just me talking to you. First one, of course, I promised you Sarah Ito. And for this, I apologize. She's got a very busy schedule, as we all do. And she's been out about around the country preparing for the USA mixed team, as well as all of her Breeze events and attending all those things, as well as her job. So working on getting her on the podcast. Today, we will take the silver medal, which I don't think you will be too disappointed with. I've got Matthew Rowan McDonald on the program, just goes by Rowan McDonald. And yeah, very excited to have him in the mix. So we've got a good show in store. A couple things I want to discuss in advance, though, is three games have occurred for the DC Breeze since the last time that I had a podcast. The first one was an ESPN 3 game. It occurred in DC between the Toronto Rush and the DC Breeze. If I have a kind of a few words about having spectated it, about having been there, it was a tough fought game. Both teams looked really good, really strong athletically for this point in the season. Maybe a result of both of them having so many national team members. I just mentioned Ito on that US team. But a ton of Breeze players, as you well know, are on that team as well. And then a ton of the Rush guys are on the corresponding Canadian unit. Something like 10, I think. So a lot of players looking in prime form, despite being in the early season for the AUDL. So for all that athletic prowess, I would say I did see sometimes some miscues on the field with either execution or decision-making. A lot of those miscues were made up with legs for both squads, but maybe not always, you know, enough to hide the errors entirely. The Breeze got down over the first three quarters, just a break here, one or two here or there, every quarter falling one more break behind, until that fourth quarter when you could really see a Breeze team that was up against the wall, and it was really Brad Scott, you know, a captain and a leader on the team. Just came up huge twice in a row on defense, first with a hand block, and then just this monstrous layout where he had to make up probably 3 or 4 feet in the air to get the block, and he did. And it was just, you know, the crowd went crazy. It forced the game into overtime. Toronto wins the toss for overtime. This has been much discussed on AltiWorld and other places. Wins the toss, the coin flip, and elects to pull, thus starting the first overtime on defense. And this may have a little bit of controversy because maybe you want that early chance to be on offense and to win the game earlier than later, but it works out great for Toronto as they break the first point of overtime and then start possession and then force a tie in single overtime. In double overtime, they start with a disc. They march it right up the break side, or sorry, right up the fourth side, excuse me, and then end up scoring on this Lindquist scooper into a tight little window. Defender probably had a play on it, but you know couldn't locate the disc, and the scooper just dropped right in. So we called it a day at that, and Toronto took the first of three matchups between the Rush and the Breeze this year. Two more to come. The next one I'll discuss also occurred in the past week. It occurred on the 30th, just this past weekend, on the road for the Breeze up in Toronto. Oh, and the one thing I want to do, too, is name kind of MVPs for each game. And even though there were players that accumulated better counting numbers in that first Breeze-Rush meeting, I'm going to give the MVP award to Brad Scott. I mean, you heard my kind of take on the game, and those two blocks at the biggest moments of the game really are what even made it an overtime affair. So first MVP award that I'll give out right here, MVP of a game, goes to Brad Scott. Talking more about that second meetup, kind of a little bit of the same with the shoe on the other foot. You know, two very athletically gifted teams, obviously, but this time it was the Breeze that were able to get just one break at a time, you know, one break a quarter, two breaks a quarter, and it started to add up. And then, you know, it was on the backs of some strong defense in the fourth quarter, including Justin Ford, 5 Ds over the course of the game. The guy's a monster. And it was Toronto that made a last-minute push and came back and won it, this time in regulation. But a couple of the stat lines from that game, Alan Kolick with four assists, 2 goals, no Ds. Nicky Spiva, 4 assists, no goals, 2 Ds. Wodach, an outstanding performer in this game, scored 5 times, also had an assist, and then the defensive standout of the game was Brian Marshall. No assists, but 2 goals and 2 Ds himself. It was Helton Goose that had the most points played on the Breeze with 29. So those are kind of some of the lines of the game. I think I would award kind of the MVP for DC to Jeff Wodach. Those 5 goals were huge, and the guy just looked unstoppable in the end zone. Again and again, you know, the Breeze maybe needed a bailout late in the count or whatever it was, and they look upfield, and who's wide open in the corner of the end zone? It's Wodach running onto a disc. Really served as a bailout option and made a lot of possessions work that didn't look like they were going to until the very final release of the throw. So, rush take two. There is one more matchup between the two teams. It happens, I think, on June 4th, so a month away or so. And we'll be excited to see if the Breeze can pull out a W after 2 just 1-point losses. And certainly the first one a little bit in heartbreaking fashion. But then the last game that I want to update you on that occurred in the meantime, or since the last podcast at least, was the second half of that road trip where DC played in Montreal against the Montreal Royale. It was a little damp out there, a little wet game in Montreal, and Montreal brought out 2,100 fans despite the weather. And maybe I shouldn't call them fans. I think that's a term reserved for Breeze enthusiasts. I'm going to just call them spectators. Fan, obviously, would only encourage a Breeze, wouldn't encourage a Royal. Doesn't make any sense. But so anyway, looked a little bit like that early Ottawa game. Breeze came out strong, scoring the first one on offense, and then they rattled off 3 breaks in a row, running it to a 4-0 lead. Exactly the same thing that happened in that first Ottawa game here in the nation's capital. They ran that lead to 7-2, and they never really looked back. Took it to the races. The rain maybe slowed down some of the offenses throughout the course of the day. When the rain lifted in the fourth quarter, it was an explosion of scoring on both sides. 10-7, the Breeze won the fourth quarter, but they tacked on 10 and 7 points to, I don't know, I think the Breeze ended with 24. So from going from 14 points in the first 3 quarters, adding on another 10 in the third quarter, just you really see the offenses start to click maybe by virtue of time, but also weather clearing up. Notable stat lines, Nicky Spiva, 7 assists, no goals, 6 blocks, just alarmingly good. Jonathan Helton, 6 assists, 1 goal, no blocks. Matt Kerrigan, 3 assists, 2 goals, no blocks. The defensive standout of the game had to be Cranston. No assists, but a goal, and then 4 blocks. Another kind of underlying story of this game is how well the Breeze really spread around the disc. 15 different players got goals throughout the course of the game. So, you know, I think in years past, you've seen a Breeze with a couple guys really rising to the top, and, you know, maybe that's a little bit true of the assists in this particular game, but the goals themselves were very spread around, kind of showing the even attack, the more balanced attack that the DC Breeze are bringing to the table this year. So yeah, that's a lot of upfront stuff, but I did want to fill you in on kind of my take on some of those games that have occurred recently. We've got Rowan McDonald on the podcast, and I want to get to him. I'm going to hand it over to Broke Royals for our entry music, and I'm also going to give a quick shout-out to our Breeze sponsors this year, Papa John's Pizza, Waveborn Sunglasses, Rose Physical Therapy Group, Atlas Brew Works, and Moral Performance, Oak Creek Apparel. I think I got them all. Big Board, Wofsy, thanks so much for making this season possible, and enjoy the Hot Air Podcast. All right, so I have the distinct pleasure of sitting here with Matthew Rowan McDonald, as you may know him best as just his middle name, which is Rowan. How did you end up going by your middle name?
Yeah, good question. So I was Matt all through high school, but when I was 18 after high school, I was hanging out, you know, me and my two brothers and our two cousins, we call them cousins, they're just best friends from, we all grew up on the same street. There was another Matt.
Brothers from another mother.
Yeah. I love you, Liz. Okay, so, anyways, there's another Matt in the group, so he took his last name, and I took Rowan, and that we just were able to get around that.
Oh, but you would think if one person took the last name, that maybe it would be, like, the other one maybe asserting dominance. So if he went by his last name, you would have looked him square in the eyes and with your animal ferocity been like, I'm the real Matthew now.
Yeah, I had never thought of that, but I'm definitely going to go back to Matthew right now.
Okay, let's give him a phone call. a first here on Hot Air. Well, good. So glad to have you in the room. And we got a stacked agenda that I want to talk about today. You live in a very interesting group house that we'll discuss in just a moment. We had an awesome home game, awesome maybe everything but the final result, but I think there were a lot of good signs throughout the game that I want to talk about. And then you've got a lot of community involvement in DC area, all over the sport, lots of clinics and stuff, and I want to talk about that too. So all that said, all that agenda kind of thrown up there on the wall, I want to dig right in, but one little caveat here about Hot Air is I love puns. Any way you sell them, I'll buy them. But I do have a special place for wind and breeze related puns, so keep them flying.
Gotcha. I've listened to Hot Air before.
Not a first timer. Not a first timer. Lovely. So first tell me about that group house. It's an interesting construct to me because I've lived in the DC group house many years myself, but never with a group maybe as rowdy or never a group that's as ultimate heavy as yours. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we would make a formidable 4-on-4 ultimate team. We have actually the three Breeze captains, myself, Brad Scott, and Nikki Spiva, joined with Markham Schaffner, also on the Breeze. So we like to think that me, Brad, and Nikki run the Breeze as the captains, and Markham runs us.
That is a dangerous proposition, because if anyone, of course, knows Markham, who's been on Hot Air himself, when he controls the room and the dialogue, some wacky stuff happens.
Yeah.
How does he? I mean, he obviously embraces that ownership.
Yeah,
he loves.
He knows it's his team.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about the dynamic then of that crew of four when you guys are hanging out socially. I mean, is someone the alpha dog? Is someone the cleanest member of the house?
Yeah, definitely want to start with. Fancy you bring that up. We just had a house meeting last night about the cleanliness.
Oh!
Yeah.
Drama.
I requested it myself, being the cleanest of the four.
Okay. No. Self-appointed cleanest.
No, I have the cleanest room because I just don't own any possessions. I will be the cleanest.
That minimalist lifestyle, yeah, though. Yeah,
absolutely. And we're going to give Markham the 2 seed.
Markham. Again, you're really inflating Markham's ego here on Hot Air today. I don't know. I don't know if I love that.
I don't think I should be, but you know, credit where credit is deserved.
Let me go shut the window so his ego doesn't expand into the room.
Okay, so Markham he's got a pretty good room. He's pretty good in the kitchen. He doesn't make big messes, and he's a clean guy. We're not going to give out the 3rd seed. Just because I don't want everybody to know who the 4th seed is.
Wow. So Spiva and Scott are sitting there, you know, shaking in their boots, not knowing who's bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like a sneaky captain tactic of yours to really motivate them both to pick it up.
Sure. Maybe that's the whole plan. But, no, they're good. We're a pretty clean house, considering.
I have been to the house, let me say, and I have been impressed with your cleanliness. So whether it's you cracking the whip, or whether it's a communal team effort, you know, you all put on Breeze headbands and just go nuts scrubbing down. You know, either way, the work gets done.
Yeah, there was a little house rift actually about 2 weeks ago where Nikki and Markham proposed a maid service and me and Brad rejected it. And yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna aid your guys' training to get in there.
Team chemistry,
and also just like the elbow grease, you know, get some sponges, scrub that kitchen down. You know, everyone knows a good kitchen scrub really enhances the forehand technique.
Absolutely.
So tell me more about kind of the competitive dynamic of the four of you. Do you do track workouts together? Do you never leave each other's side? Is there one guy that's like, hey, we need to be out there working harder? You know, who drives who in this Hydra four-headed relationship of Breeze?
Yeah, I mean, the best part of having all four people at the house is that you can always throw. Markham loves to throw.
I believe that.
I'm probably the most active in terms of going to the gym and track, so I think them seeing me put in a lot of work. Now Nikki, every day, me and Nikki get up at 7 in the morning and do our PT. Nikki even hops on the Airdyne. So I think just the motivation of four active people is really good for us. That holds everybody accountable. So Markham has had probably his most active off season. Nikki's healthy. And Brad's always, he's a gym guy too. He's just a natural athlete. Probably doesn't even have to go to the gym. But yeah, so.
But you see one guy go to the gym and it's hard to stay home. It's hard to watch the next episode of The Bachelorette.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a great field down the street, and one of us goes out, we usually get at least a couple others to go. We've had some good 2-on-2 nights.
Nice. Well, I know next time I'm trying to get an impromptu Galtman game together, I'm just knocking on one door.
Yeah.
If I bring a friend, I just knock on one door and it happens.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, please. More Galtman.
good. So that's interesting. Can I ask you how this house came to be?
Yeah.
The short version of the story, maybe, if it's a long tale of intertwined ex-lovers, I don't know.
No, it's an easy one. I'd been living out of teammates' couches for about a month or two in D.C., when Markham posted on Facebook, "Hey, anybody looking to live in DC, let me know." They had a cheap room in the basement, which was perfect for me. So us three got there, got on the lease. I think Nikki made that happen. Then we needed a fourth. We have Brad Scott, who just got a job in DC, and we knew he'd be a great roommate. We locked him up, and that was it. And now it's us four.
And the rest is history.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about the most recent game that you played in, the game, home game against the Toronto Rush that occurred on the 23rd.
So going back to our second home game against Toronto, ESPN3 game of the week, the whole team knows, it's exciting, but the game started off, it was a tough start, I would say. I think, you know, we would have loved to come out with a couple breaks. You know, Toronto's on that bus for 8-10 hours. They kind of got comfortable early, which you don't want to see as a defense, and our offense was...
Certainly not the game the Ottawa game started, when you guys came out with the break train.
Sure, that's what we were looking for against Toronto, but it was not to be. Offense was a little glitchy. They're fine. They're gonna be great, but it was a slow start.
Yeah. I think you're right, but something, obviously, I mean, you guys made it the thriller of the year, maybe, by taking it to double overtime. And in order to do that, you had to change something, and everything changed in that fourth quarter. It's when you made up a 3-4 point deficit, tons of breaks started coming. You know what changed?
Yeah, that's a great question. Down 4, maybe on defense. I think the first thing that changed was just, Brad Scott, maybe. Two huge Ds.
I've actually awarded Brad Scott the MVP of that game, not because he had the glitziest stats,
sure,
but because very those impactful. Two Ds he had in the fourth quarter were just both monstrous and so impactful.
Yeah, that was great to see.
So something changed internally in the chemistry of the brain of Brad Scott. Anything else structurally? I mean, did different people cross over? Did you get more comfortable with each other? What? Anything else?
No, I think that the lines were pretty similar. I think that our defense was playing well, and we were able to stay on the field a few times, give the offense some rest. When the offense played, it looks like they were scoring a little easier in the fourth.
And that saves legs and saves you for the next point. Yeah.
Easy points, that really good for the team. And keeping that defense, that D-line's got to stay on the field.
Yeah, sure. That's good for me. I mean, that's what you want.
Sure.
So let me say a little bit more about the game then, and about the points. I think you played 23 points, and I think 20 of them came on that D-line. And then the line that you put up for the game, 1 assist, 2 goals, and you had 10 touches on the disc on a D-line, which ain't so shabby. You know, thoughts about that?
Yeah, I would love to put some more blocks on the stat line. You know, that I got my fingertips on 2.
Yeah.
You hate it, but definitely I think that's the one stat that I need to pick up, is I need to start getting blocks.
And actually, maybe I should have introduced you with this as well. The one thing that comes to mind when I think about that stat line and think about, you know, hey, Brad Scott's blocks were great, but they were made more valuable by the timing with which they came and the nature and how they occurred. I mean, one of your goals was the tying goal.
Yeah. Actually, I'll just run through that play real quick because it's fascinating. First off, 45 seconds left. We need a break to have a chance. So Brad gets the amazing defense. First off, kids, if you're listening, go to the disc. Andrew, we kind of faded away, especially if Brad's guarding you. Go to it.
Sure.
Then everybody's expecting a timeout to come. And if you look at the film, you can see Dutchie running up the field getting ready to call it. But such a great decision to observe the field and see nobody's guarding Cranston. He's like, okay, let's see how far we can go until I need to call a timeout.
On the fast break, right, yeah.
Absolutely. Most coaches instantly call that timeout and then... You don't know what happens. He was able to see the field, let us play. Nobody guarded Cranston. Nobody guarded Tom. And my defender, was, I don't know what he did.
Stuck in a pickle a little bit.
Yeah, and I just walked in. So yeah. that was just a great sequence of play and coaching and really, really, it was awesome.
So obviously, then the sour bit is that you still didn't pull out the win. So then talk to me about kind of the future of the season and, you know, how you approach the remainder of the season, you know, at this point, you know, trying to get that one seed and trying to play out the season as best as you can.
It's early. It's early. That's the one thing we got to keep reminding ourselves.
Yeah, it's a 14-game season.
It's a long season and, you know, it would be nice to get the one seed, to get that home playoff game, but... our goal is just, you know, just to keep improving. I think looking back at the film, we can get a lot better. And maybe Toronto can't get that much better. They run the same system with the same players. So I think our upside is higher than their upside. We just need to get there through practice and playing. So just looking at these early season games, I can't really say anything's must win. But I think it's just important to grow as a team and then win the playoff games, which are must win.
Yeah, so talk to me. So, I mean, you said, you know, you'll obviously play in the playoff game, whether it's here or there or anywhere. But talk to me a little bit about your approach playing a home game versus an away game. Does it mean anything different? Do you walk into the game thinking anything different?
Yeah, well, it's a mile and a half bike ride for our home game and a 10-hour plus bus trip one way.
So what does that mean, though?
That means that the road trips are... Well, first off, they're very fun. I don't want to sell them short, but it just means a lot less, you know, sitting around before the game. It's more freedom when you play at home. It's probably easier. Then again, Toronto's got great fans. Like, I don't even know where I want to play the playoff game.
Yeah.
You know? I'm okay with it. I can't control it, home or away. For me personally, it doesn't make a big difference. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So those are bold words then, because you know wherever this playoff game happens, then I'm counting on you.
Yeah, I got you.
So then one of the other things I wanted to talk about today was about your community involvement. I've seen you out about town coaching clinics. I know that you coach the American University Dirty Ladies women's team, college team.
Correct.
And you've got a big weekend coming up with those guys. Tell me more about all of this involvement.
This January, I had a great opportunity to travel to Panama to coach an international clinic. When I got back, I decided, you know, let's just see how far I can go with just living off Ultimate. So,
coaching clinics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Coaching clinics, training, playing with teammates, playing pickup, meeting the community. So I asked, I ran for the position of director for community involvement on my club team Truck Stop, and now I'm just trying to make a difference in building up the community. So I co-coach American University with Rachel Borchon, who's an amazing co-coach with me, and we have an awesome time. It's been probably the highlight of my Ultimate career.
Wow.
Yeah. Just to see
They've done well, too.
They have done well. They had a tough year last year. They weren't coached, so they went into the well, got some coaches, and... We had a great sectionals where we played some of the top teams, Maryland, Georgetown, real close. We made regionals, which was our goal. And, we're heading down there headed down there.
And although you won't be able to tell me about regionals down in, what, Axton, Virginia?
Correct.
Fans at home can go Google it right now and find out how those dirty ladies did.
Absolutely. We're just looking to have a good time there and hopefully win a few games.
Yeah, cool. Who's the stiff competition for American down in Axton?
Sure. We have a strong region this year. UVA's got the overall one seed. If I'm not mistaken, UNC, Wilmington.
Those Carolina teams always so good.
Carolina teams are good, but I believe Wilmington may have lost in the second place game to NC State.
Okay.
But yeah, and from our section, Maryland, Delaware, and Georgetown are all seeded, I think, in the top seven. So we've played some of the top teams in the region.
Yeah, well, that's good. And that's good, you know, maybe not just for you, but for the whole district. We're repping strong, sending some good teams down. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, GW women are also going, Georgetown as well. So yeah, the district is strong. The women's college ultimate scene. And it's exciting. It's so
good.
Exciting.
I'll see what we can do on the men's side since I'll be down there I'll be down in Axton myself with Georgetown.
That's right. I just scrimmaged your Georgetown team.
You
myself.
Did. You yeah. did. You skied a couple of them. They were talking about you at practice the other day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Those guys are way more athletic than me. I read it well.
Humble to the end. okay, so tell me a little bit more about some of the organizations then that you've worked with, the clinics around DC. I know the big league sponsor Eric is one of them. You know, what typically goes down? You want to list some, and then also I'm interested, from a layman standpoint, you know, what goes down at a typical clinic? You know, why should I or my hypothetical child go to one of these?
Great question. So yeah, let's start. What comes in is an email. Our owner Don says, hey, we got a clinic, who's open? And with my flexible schedule, I volunteer. We go out, sometimes I get some help. Most of the times I get some help, maybe some Breeze people. I've had Georgetown volunteers, I've had teammates. So we'll go out to a clinic, and we'll run them through mostly fun drills, I would say.
Okay.
The clinics we've done have been middle school lately. So we'll like line them up and throw 50-50 discs. We might walk through the basics of throwing, and we just like keep it fun and positive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of what Ultimate is. I mean, you're not teaching them an offense at a clinic. You're getting touches on the disc. You're having a fun time. You're putting a big smile on their face, and I think there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, and that just I have so much gratitude towards the people that are making these happen. I just get to go out and be the kid that plays with them. But, you know, like for this Eric Clinic, I know we went out to HB Woodlawn, a school right outside D.C.
A high school powerhouse in the area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cody Johnson's got him ready for states coming up. Then, so we go out to this middle school and 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, three classes of 40 kids.
Okay.
So out of those 120 kids, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, 60 to 70% have played Ultimate before.
Wow.
Yeah, this...
It's a hotbed.
This Arlington is coming as the youth ultimate scene in America. Swing Vote just won YCC's last year under Ben Feng and Cody Johnston as in the mixed division. They've had Jenny Fay come out of there, Alan Kolick. Arlington is probably the best-kept secret in youth ultimate, and that's right outside D.C.
Yeah, how about that? Are there any other organizations you're working with besides some of the local high schools, besides Eric?
Yeah.
Maybe even talk more about Eric.
Yeah.
That was a big league and sponsorship.
Yeah, Eric was cool. That just kind of came out of nowhere. I think they sent us up a basket with some of their frisbees, hats, and everything. So we'll just go in, kind of run down what Eric stands for, and then we'll get right into playing.
Early recognition is critical.
That is the acronym. Putting so many frisbees in kids' hands that, I mean... It just, if I can help, then that's great.
Nice.
Ultimate Peace is another clinic that we have worked with.
Oh, yeah, the guys that work in the Middle East.
Correct. Under Ben Ayers runs that. The Breeze assistant coach, Mike Lopresti, is heavily involved. He's gone out to the Middle East and helped them. They brought on 15 players who played extremely high level. This clinic, I was kind of going into like the other clinics, but no, these kids were playing. So it's incredible to see.
Nice. And they actually came out to a Breeze game this year, too, and then cheered you on.
They did. That was the morning the clinic got pushed to the morning of the game, so nobody else could go. So I grabbed my brother, Nico Lake, was able to come out, and we made it happen, sprinted off to the game, and those kids followed us, and I think we beat Ottawa that day.
Yeah, sure. Well, there you go. That's an ultimate piece, good luck charm.
Absolutely.
Get them out to every game. I've actually seen your AU Dirty Ladies out at both games, I think, as well, and making a ruckus in the stands.
Sure. The support is incredible. I am just so grateful that they wanted to come watch me. That was awesome to see all of them come out. I didn't even think anyone was going to be there the second game, but that was a surprise.
Yeah, so tell me, we're jumping ahead a little bit on the schedule. I know you're thinking about some other things. You're thinking about college games this weekend. But tell me a little bit about your thoughts about playing New York on May 7th here in D.C., the next home game.
Yeah, New York. I'm very much looking forward to New York. Where I come from, Boston, Ultimate.
Oh, you want to stick it to them.
We don't lose to New York. That's what they say. It's like little brother. But down here in D.C., I hope we can continue that trend. I would say probably outside of Toronto, the closest rivalry I think the Breeze have. They have some great players this year. Chris, Sean, well, both Chris's.
Yep.
Sean's new in town, and we just gotta keep playing our game. We can't think too much about it.
Yeah. So that'll be an exciting game. I invite everyone to come out and join us at Gallaudet University at 6:30 on May 7th. And are there any other kind of thoughts you have? Anything we didn't cover here? Any riddles, jokes that you want to get in before we close down on Hot Air?
Yeah. Well, before we wind down, I just want to. If any young youth Ultimate players listening, then one thing you guys can do is email me at rowan757@gmail.com if you have any questions about Frisbee, like how to get better, offenses, defenses, strategy, conditioning. Like, there's a lot of resources out there that I know it was hard when I started playing to find, but you can just ask me, and then I know people to ask, and can help you out. If a team's looking for coaches, looking for training, you know, I know a lot of people in the community that could probably help. So feel free to reach out to me or any of the Breeze.
Yeah, you want to drop your Twitter as well? We're real big on Twitter here at Hot Air.
Yeah, my Twitter game's pretty weak, but
oh, man.
I apologize. Rowan,
it'll get better when we start pouring the hate on.
Yeah, maybe if I get more followers, I'll be pressure to be good on Twitter. Yeah. Rowan, Rowan757 on
okay.
Twitter.
Good. And of course, the DC Breeze, another Twitter handle you can add to your Rolodex and tweet out your thoughts about Hot Air. We want to hear all of your thoughts, because the more feedback I get, the more I can hone future podcasts to your interests.
Well, great. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast. I thought I made it an Ultimate when I got a friend requested by this Colombian superstar, but then she just asked me for money for Worlds, so now I can say I've made it. Now that this is it. I've made it.
The pinnacle is here at Hot Air.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Rowan. Thanks all everyone that downloaded and listened. Until next time, adios.